On the Mama Bear Dares podcast, we love and are encouraged by female podcasters giving helpful advice on motherhood. Mama Bear Dares aims to add to the conversation by turning the spotlight onto moms who have inspired us by doing big and bold things in addition to being great mothers. We feature regular moms that you've sat next to at PTA meetings or smile at while she tended to her screaming toddler in the middle of Target. These moms have started their own international nonprofits from their Lego-laced living rooms. They've come out on the other side of losing a loved one, and they've carved out time to produce breathtaking art. We dare to dive deep into what makes these women more than mom and boldly ask the questions that we've all been thinking.
So come with us as we share the stories of women who love being called mom, but have shifted the paradigm that aims to stop there. Artists, entrepreneurs, creative visionaries, social change agents, activists, all women who have tapped their mama bears and dared to live full, joyful, duplicitous lives. Mama Bear, we dare you to witness the ripples they've started and begin to create some of your own. How are you doing, sister?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Doing well. So today we are talking with Chrissy.
Yeah, Chrissy is fantastic. And we're going to touch on a subject that I'm actually really excited about talking with you and Chrissy about. I told you during our last podcast or one of the earlier ones that I am trying to do something during Lent each day that's just for me. And it's kind of strange because it's something that I struggle with. I notice a lot that I go through a whole day and I just get too wrapped up in kid stuff and work stuff and food prep stuff that I sometimes feel really exhausted and realize that I really haven't paid much attention to myself. So I'm trying to do that during Lent. And we know Chrissy's really good at this too. And so we're anxious to talk to her. I guess, are you good at this? Is this something that you do?
I am probably more like you and have to be a little more intentional about it. And so I would say the last probably month and a half or so, I've been actually setting my alarm for 5:30 in the morning. And then I get about 20 minutes of meditation in before any of the kids are awake and before my day really starts. And two things have happened. One is the just acknowledgement that there's no way, like on the weekend, obviously I don't set it for 5:30, and it tends to just not get done, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there's awareness that I have to set out the time to do it, because exactly like you said, you just get wrapped up in the day and in everybody else. And then the second thing I've learned is that it's just so needed. I mean, the difference in my just energy level, my overall kind of clarity and ability to, you know, not freak out over little things or whatever as a mom and wife, are just so supported by the meditation practice. And so one of the things that I'm excited to talk to Chrissy about is just that, is she, it seems to be more natural for her. Mm-hmm. And so kind of figuring out, how do I make it feel more natural for me? Because it still doesn't, you know, even after, like I said, a month and a half or so.
Yeah, it's really interesting because it's certainly for me too. And I think I gave the example the other day of the thing I did for myself was to take nail polish off, which is kind of lame. And it made me think after that conversation, I'm just like, gosh, what? I mean, that was nice. It was 15 minutes to myself where I could kind of quiet myself and just sit there and, you know, that the act of either painting your nails or removing polish, just that physical sort of action can be sort of meditative, I suppose, mm-hmm. if you want to look at it that way. But it definitely is something that I wish came more naturally. And I think actually probably did come more naturally before maybe having children. I'm not sure if we're just in a season of life maybe where it's harder to bring ourselves forefront a little bit. I don't know.
Right. I think it's that, but I also think, you know, being in kind of the health and fitness field is that that is the number one excuse by everyone, mm-hmm. but women in particular is just like, I'll have time to do that once the kids are out of the house, or I'll have time to do that once. And so And of course we will. We'll have more time, but I don't think that that's necessarily a reason to not do it, you know? And certainly because I think as moms, you know, whether it be prayer or meditation or taking the nail polish off by yourself quietly for a little bit, I think it's just so necessary to kind of recalibrate into the other self, you know, what we talk about on this podcast, the stuff that makes us tick, the stuff that kind of feeds and nourishes our soul, instead of even when the kids are doing really fun things and, you know, playing the sports and we love all of that, it still is draining. And so this is kind of, you know, my kids always use the term like filling the bucket. I see that kind of the meditation spiritual practice as just filling the bucket of the other self. So,
Yeah. Well, and it's really exciting to think about how we all do that in really different ways also. You're interested in meditation. I know that's what my husband does also. And I can't wait to hear, some of the things that Chrissy does. There's a Anne Lamott, who is a great writer who I'm sure many people have heard of and love. But I know there's one section of her book. I think it's Traveling Mercies, but I'm not sure. It might be a different one where she talks about what she lives in, and she says, "I live in sunshine and swimsuits and think just beautiful things like that." And I don't know. I feel like that it's a really exciting thing to think about. Well, what do I live in? I think I live in bookstores, or I live in coffee shops with great music. And where is that place where you kind of lose everything but who you are? And I don't know. It'll be fun to hear from Chrissy about that.
You're so right. You know, even as I think about that, I know so many women who find it in such different places, and probably we put a little pressure on ourselves to make it something almost rigid, you know, like, oh, I did meditation today, or I prayed today, or whatever it might be. In reality, I can step out, you know, we live on a lake, so sometimes I just step out on my balcony, and it's the closest I feel to that other self, to just really examining all of it. And maybe it's, you know, 3 to 5 minutes, so it doesn't necessarily have to be something kind of regimented.
Yeah, absolutely. I know you can kind of find yourself in a good magazine, or a good book.
It's true.
but just making that time just to kind of pick yourself back up and pay attention to who you are and what you're doing and how you're feeling. And that's something that I know, as I've said, I don't always remember to do, but when I do, I feel so much better.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, let me introduce Chrissy quick. So Chrissy Smith is, she actually happens to be one of my really great friends, but she's married to Jason, who is a lieutenant in the Davenport Police Department, and she's the mom of Charlie and Maddox. She's also a yoga instructor. She's just now converted to Catholicism, so we're kind of excited to hear more about that as well. But she just is one of these women, Leslie, that I think you can agree is just a really bright energy. She's just total light and love. And she, like we said before, kind of seems to come at it really naturally. whereas I feel always just a little clunky. Okay, let's get into the interview. Hi, Chrissy.
Hi.
Welcome, Chrissy, to Mama Bear Dares. We're so excited that you're here to talk about taking care of yourself and really teaching us a little bit about that topic and all of our listeners. Tessie and I both just admire you so much and think you are such an incredible light in this world. And we're just so excited to have a conversation with you about what makes you just such a special person.
Goodness. Well, thank you for having me. Thanks for asking. And I'm excited to talk to you guys as well.
Good. Well, I actually did kind of an introduction before this, but I just recapped that you are married to Jason and that you have Charlie and Maddox. So if you want to tell us a little bit more about the three of them and then kind of what your day looks like, what else you do outside of mothering and wifing.
Well, it seems like when I start to list off the things that I do daily, it gets a little overwhelming. So mostly I just try to go moment to moment when it comes to the daily tasks of life. But Jason works all the time. He's not only married to me, but he's married to the city that we live in. So I basically run this house. I pay the bills, I keep the schedules, I make sure we have food to eat. And then the boys are at an age in life where one is pretty busy, the younger one with he dances. So we're at dance a few times a week. And Charlie, he's not busy so much, but he's getting to that age where he's kind of just off doing his own thing. And then between the four of us all together, we're pretty involved with church. So we spend a lot of time there, a few nights a week, being part of different committees or different groups. And so that keeps us pretty busy. And then besides those three boys that I live with, we have that crazy beagle that keeps me on my toes. But she just spent the last 45 minutes home alone, and she did not hurt herself or ruin anything that I own.
Yay, that's big
So
news.
that is
He's grown up.
amazing. That gives me
Yeah.
such hope, Chrissy. I know you got your pup a little before we got our pup, and I am still looking to you for such good news.
Well, it's bit by bit. We celebrate the little things when it comes to Savannah.
Good.
That is for sure. That's for sure.
And you
Yeah.
also babysit one of the most remarkable young men I know.
That's true. A couple times a week, I get to spend the day with little Ian Matthew, and that is a full-time job. I forgot what it
It
was like to have a one-year-old, have a one-year-old puppy and a one-year-old little precious baby to take care of on those days. But the good
And
news with Ian is that I get to cart him around to yoga classes and anything else that we have planned that day. So he's just another pseudo member of the Smith family.
Absolutely.
Chrissy, do you teach yoga every single day, or what is that? How does that help shape your week?
No, not every single day. I have Tuesdays off, and then generally the weekends are not a set schedule.
Okay.
I might pick up a class here or there, but typically the weekends are off, which is how I like it.
Do you have a kind of a daily practice for yourself? So even on Tuesdays or weekends, are you getting some form of yoga movement in?
Well, yoga movement? I don't know. If I were to say, do I have a daily yoga practice? At this time in my life, I could honestly say yes, but it's probably not the yoga that you're thinking of. Because, yoga is kind of a path or a journey to your inner self, and it has like a lot of layers. And the yoga movement, or asana, is the term for the poses that we put ourselves into in yoga. That doesn't come in until the third layer of eight limbs. And so most of my daily yoga practice right now is just trying to live that yogic life. And then if I get, 5 or 10 minutes of some sort of yoga movement or pranayama, which is, just some yogic breathing, then that's just what it is these days. That little bit here and there.
Back up a little bit.
Yeah.
How did you get started?
I believe it was about 20 years ago now that I started doing yoga. And believe it or not, it was a Kathy Smith yoga DVD. And I just would put that in and do some yoga poses. And that's how it all started.
So, were you a high school student at that time? You were a
I
teenager,
was
right?
like, no, I was, I'm a little older than you think, but I was out of high school. I
Okay.
was out of high school. I was off, living my life, barely out of high school. We have our
Okay.
20-year reunion coming up here. But yeah, and it wasn't like an everyday practice. It was just something that I liked to do because it wasn't cardio. and it was supposedly really good for me.
So is that initially what drew you to it, was just getting some sort of physical movement, or was it something more kind of mental and spiritual?
Nope, absolutely not. It was purely physical. And I think what I loved about it is that I was good at it, like, right away. And I think that's just because I had a background in, like, dance and gymnastics. Like, that was my interest growing up. And so it was just naturally kind of the next step if I was going to be active.
Yeah, and actually, you and I met when I was teaching a yoga class, Body Flow, and you came in. And you're so right that you were so great initially that I'm pretty sure that first class I asked you if you were a teacher, because you're naturally limber, but you also just, it was like you closed your eyes and were just going for it, and no one does that on their first class, you know, except for Chrissy.
Well, I don't remember the little things, like what question you asked me or what color shirt you had on, because this memory isn't what it should be. That's a whole different podcast, but I do love it, and I do remember coming to that yoga class and meeting you and just thinking, like, I'm going to do this for the rest of my life. It was very inspiring.
Well, and I think that it just kind of worked. We were at the Y, and I think it just kind of worked that they were very supportive of you going to get your certifications right from the start, you know, and you were just at kind of the right time and the right place, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. It, I mean, everything happens for a reason. There's always a bigger plan. And I just am constantly reminded as I get further on this path towards my inner self that I'm on the right path. And that it just makes my heart happy when I get like those little answers that, yes, girl, you are doing what you're supposed to be doing.
Chrissy, what does that look like to you when you kind of get those little reminders? What does that feel like? Is it a tangible thing that you can see or touch, or is it a feeling inside? I'm interested to know what that's like.
I think it comes in different ways, and it's almost sometimes what you may or may not know yourself is that it's not sometimes always easy to be open to that if you're not finding that time every day to be quiet and just kind of notice those subtle little guidelines or those little whispers of, yeah, you're on the right path, and you might not even notice them. So sometimes they are just a feeling or an aha moment when things fall into place in front of you and you're like, oh yeah, I must be on the right path because this is all falling into place. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that's fantastic. I feel like just a general sense of peace when I feel like, you know, there's God or a higher being is telling me that, yeah, this is the right time and right place. But I think you make a really good point that you kind of have to quiet yourself in order to feel that or to hear those things.
Right.
Yeah. So what is that? You mentioned earlier that your practice now is kind of just living that sort of yogic life. Can you tell us what that looks like or how that plays out in your day?
Well, it's funny that you asked that. I could go off on a 8-limb yoga path for a couple hours, and I'm not sure that that's exactly what you're asking me, but if you break down the 8 limbs of yoga, the first two are the yamas and the niyamas, and I won't go really beyond that, but they're basically like these yogic laws or these ideals that you try to follow. And the first five, the yamas, are like the ethical standards that you try to follow in your life, which is basically how you deal with the outside world. And then the next five, which are the niyamas, they're like self-discipline. And when you have those yamas and those niyamas, if you think about it, there's 10 of them. And when you like start to study them and see how they fit into your daily life, and then me being newer Catholic, and I think about like the Ten Commandments or God's laws, they're almost hand in hand. And so as I was going through my journey recently to join the Catholic Church, it was just kind of like, oh my gosh, I've been practicing this through yoga, so maybe God's like trying to tell me something here. So that kind of wove itself together. So it's just trying to be a good person. That's what it looks like in my daily life. I try and make good choices, in society to be kind and helpful and, giving back. And then I try and make good choices for myself to be healthy and to be happy and to be peaceful.
Yeah, it seems very natural to you, and it's one of the things I most admire about you is that even before you started your journey into Catholicism, often when people come to yoga class, they don't want to hear about God. They very much separate kind of God and Jesus, or like a very specific kind of God, and don't have problems necessarily with imagining a higher being or like Mother Earth or kind of those things, but you've never felt scared or overwhelmed by the idea that they could live together, that kind of the yogic traditions can live with the Christian or Catholic traditions. Even though you are relatively newer to the Catholic Church, I'm just so interested in, was there a moment where you had said like, oh, I've been doing this for a while, or was there an initial pushback when you were kind of delving more into the Catholic faith because you were rooted so much in more of a, I don't want to say loose faith, but a yogic tradition is more about kind of the inner self in a different way than, the Christian faith is.
I mean, I always believed in God, whether I was 2 or 10 or 20 or doing yoga or whatever. I mean, I was raised to believe in God, so I would say that I was always considered to be a Christian, and I never really fell away from that at all. Like, I always believed that. It's just, was it my first priority to have a relationship with Jesus or not? Like, that has changed over the years. But no, I think the timing was right, and maybe yoga had helped me to know myself enough to make that choice to join the church. And I mean, a lot of people, if they don't know that much about yoga, they might find that they feel it's taboo or that not anybody can do yoga. But yoga is not a religion, it's a science, and it's, the study of yourself, and anybody can do that, no matter what your religion is or what you believe or anything like that.
So, Chrissy, I have to say, first of all, that the church that you and your family attend, happens to be right next to my house. And just so our listeners can get a sense of the way you move about your day, the drop off is what, like just a little bit after 8 o'clock, I think. And often I'm coming home from taking my kids to school when you're driving literally through our alley, right, to drop your kids off. And it's always so much fun because, like once a month or so, we'll time it just right so that I'm getting out of my car and you're pulling by. And you are always just the sweetest person. You're, for one thing, in adorable, crazy sunglasses or regular glasses, like super fashion. You look great, and you're just waving like crazy and saying, "Hey, have a great day. I love you." And it's just, I think that just right there is just a great image of you that I certainly appreciate and get to enjoy every once in a while. It makes my day great. But I just thought everyone should kind of have that visual of just you spreading your love in the world in just like the tiniest way, but in a way that really can affect the way I move about my day. So thanks for those occasional run-ins.
You're awesome. I do get really excited.
We do. We get really excited. I grew up Catholic and now am attending a Lutheran church, but definitely, was so excited when you were going through the RCIA program at your church. And I just think it's really, really cool and really interested that, in your adult life, you made this decision to join the Catholic Church. So I'd love to know just more about what prompted that, and maybe just a little bit more about your faith journey.
When I was growing up, we didn't belong to a church. We didn't, my mom didn't believe in organized religion. And so as a family, we didn't practice that. We believed in God and we practiced the golden rule, and she would recite these cute little prayers to me and I would memorize them. And it wasn't something that we had to go do. It was something that was in our hearts that we just kind of had that private relationship with Jesus. And so that was how I grew up. And then, fast forward to right about that time I started doing yoga. At age 21, I moved away from home and lived, in the northern Illinois, kind of north of Chicago area, and got myself baptized Lutheran when I was, 21 years old. And so
Interesting.
then, yeah. So I knew that I wanted that closer relationship with Jesus, but I just was still young and wasn't really sure what to do. But I thought that was a good step. So I did that, and then, ended up moving back home and then met Jason within a matter of like a year, and then was engaged and married to him within another year. So I think, even then, if I had been listening, God would have been telling me, okay, girl, you come and be baptized in my love, and I'm going to send you this beautiful man that you're going to spend the rest of your life with.
And Jason is a
So
Catholic, correct?
Jason is Catholic. He's
Yeah,
a cradle Catholic, and so he grew up having that religion and that good faith community. I mean,
okay.
the church across the alley from your house is where he was born and raised, and he went to that school. And then when we had children, he of course wanted them to also go to St. Paul's. And I agreed. I was a member because of my Lutheran baptism, but I wasn't practicing any type of religion in that space, in that church. And then when the boys went, and we ended up getting them baptized soon after Charlie started school there. And so they were both baptized, not as infants, but they were pretty young. And we got our marriage blessed by the church the fall of 2008. And then it wasn't until Charlie's first communion that I decided that maybe we needed to be united as a family and I needed to pick a team, so to say. And that's when I started kind of just questioning what it would take, and then it wasn't till, a few years later that I actually decided it was time.
It's
Yeah.
beautiful. I think it's really fascinating when just from, you describe being a child and sort of having that love for God or that longing for God. And then I think it's really interesting that when so many, of us who grew up in the church but then go off to college or wherever you graduate high school and it's sort of like you get to do your own thing, and so many of us don't then attend church, and yet that was right around the time where you were feeling drawn back and wanting to be baptized. So that's, I think, a really just an interesting thing about the person that you are and the connection that you crave, I guess, with God.
Yeah, I think it is kind of a unique story, but I'm not, I'm just living my faith. I just am me, and I know it's God's will for us to, speak of him to others and, to have them feel that love of God too, but I don't think you even need to say anything to be that person for God. You just have to live your life and be a good person, and then they'll see that, and that's the way that I try and, fulfill God's wishes, is just to be me.
Yeah, and you have done that so well even before you became Catholic. I mean, that's the thing that I've always struggled with, people who thought you had to say it for people to, you had to say they were loved by God for them to feel it, because you were one of the best examples I had at someone who didn't say it, but just, you just felt it from you. Just laugh and tell the story that you hugged me, I think, the second class, the second time. It was not just like a 2 second hug. I mean, it was an extended Chrissy hug, you know, which my old cold Lutheran heart was just like, what is going on in the situation? You know, but I certainly have always felt that from you, just like, oh man, this woman just knows how to love people, you know, and even before you know, professed your kind of devotion to a specific church, it was so clear that you lived that. And that's kind of in the introduction what Leslie and I were talking about. You seem to so naturally and effortlessly kind of harness and take time out to cultivate your, we call it the other self. You know, you have your mother self and then the other self. And you're so, you've always done that. And whereas we talked about how we have to be super intentional, you never seem to be, have to be super intentional. So do you feel like, I mean, you just feel like you were given that, or there was, you know, I'm just so interested in that. Like, how do I get that?
Like, is it a discipline that it's a, is it a discipline that every day, you know, you wake up and you think, okay, I need to do XYZ for myself today? Or, you know, how do you
No.
tell, teach us?
I wish I had some like magic formula to tell you of what to do, but I don't. I just wake up and do what I have to do and just try and have the best positive spin on things that I can. And I just am a lover. I was made that way. God made me to love. Because God is love, and He made me. I mean, it's just, that was another epiphany I've had over the years, is like, what am I? What am I? Like, what is Chrissy Smith? Not, you know, who am I? What am I? And I'm love. And as the, you know, I studied through RCIA for a year, which means, you know, the rite of Christian initiation into the church, as an adult, like, Jesus is love. So if I'm love and Jesus is love, then probably we should be best friends, you know? So, I mean, it was just kind of, it's just who I am. And no, I don't really have to be that intentional about it.
So, Chrissy, what are things that you feel like kind of nourish your soul? We were talking about how different people kind of have different pathways to sort of feeling that love of God, or just accessing that energy and that beauty. Where do you find that? Or what, or maybe you're doing something. Do you have moments that you can kind of pinpoint, or activities or places that really seem to nourish your soul?
I think it mostly has to do with just being around people. I just love it. Like, it makes me happy. I mean, you know, you see me in the alley, I'm excited because I see you. Like, that energizes me. It nourishes my soul. And I never want to be the one to leave the party. I want to be
That's
there.
true.
I want
I
to end
can
it.
attest to that. I can
And,
attest to that.
you know, I love that. That nourishes me. But then at the same time, now I'm really going to throw you off your rocker, is that I find peace in my life when I can be alone. So it's like I need to go and get energized and be with people and have that love and that connection. But then I need that downtime. I need to also be home and just be alone in my thoughts, because that's a lot of how I pray, is not kneeling down and reciting these age-old prayers, because I didn't grow up doing that. I mean, I know a handful of prayers and that's it. But, you know, just having those conversations with God that also nourishes me. So it just is a little bit of both of those things, I would say.
I also think your kind of other self is one of the things that I'm just always so grateful to have in my life when I'm just needing a little to get my bucket filled by some joy. I just know I can text you or call you, and even if we're not talking about anything specific, I know I'm going to laugh. I know I'm probably going to cry, usually happy tears from laughing so hard, but sometimes just because the connection's so good. But I just think that's what I hope our listeners get from you, is just this idea that even if you are Catholic or Jewish or Buddhist or whatever, if you believe that we were born out of love, that's what you give to everybody else. Like, that's your goal on earth, is to just live in that love and share it with as many people as you possibly can. And I think you do that better than probably anyone I know all the time.
Right on. Thank you.
I think that's beautiful. What I want to ask you next is, I'm sure that you being who you are and kind of giving this example of who you are to your children will affect them in the most beautiful and positive way. And I wondered if we can talk a little bit about just what, you know, taking the time to figure out what nourishes us and then really embracing that and then practicing that in front of our families. I feel like that's just a really good thing. I think it's something that I want my kids to see me doing. And I'm sure you guys feel the same way, I guess. Then, but why do we feel that way? Why do you think that's a good way to be a mom to kids, to exemplify self-care?
Well, because if we don't teach it to them, who will? You know what I mean? And they don't do what we say, they do what we do. And so if we're not practicing self-care and self-love, how in the heck are we going to expect them to? So I think it's super important, just as you do, to be that example for our children. Because if they can grow up and love themselves, then that's just going to, you know, make the world a better place. You can just insert the birds singing right here into the podcast. But, you know, I mean, I just want them to feel and to give and receive love. Like, if I could have one dream for them, I think that would be sufficient, because everything else will fall into place. And it starts within. Like, you have to have that self-love and that self-care before you can go out and share it with the world.
I totally agree, but that comes so naturally for you. So what kind of guidance do you give to your yoga participants? You know, if you can just tell that's what they're struggling with, essentially, because you and I both work in that field, and we know, right? We know when they come up and just tell us their story, we know that it starts because they don't love themselves. So what do you say when someone comes up to you and you know that that's the missing piece?
I think it would vary situation to situation, but I would probably say, like, I see you. I've been there. I still am there. You know, it's a struggle every day to not have negativity, you know, creep in because of today's society. I mean, and I could go on and on about that, but, I mean, you just have to love your whole self. So it could be as simple as, you know, finding quiet time and reciting a mantra over and over, you know, like, I am love, or I am beautiful, or I am smart, just something to get you into that mind space. I mean, even if you don't believe it, you say it over and over and over, and it can have a very positive effect on you. And then, you know, just self-care, like, go for a walk or move your body in a way that makes you feel good. Dance like nobody's watching. You know, find those little moments. Take a bubble bath, or, you know, treat yourself to something that you normally wouldn't. Just be mindful of how you're feeling. and find that quiet time to let those feelings be. Don't try to change them. And I think when you just take that little time again and again and again, it just gets a little bit easier to love yourself.
Mm-hmm. Chrissy, that's so true. And I think that if the listeners take away anything from this, it's that, you know, what they've gotten from you, just the idea that of all the things that they might get little tidbits from this conversation, I hope that what they get most is that it's totally within their own power to get even just a few minutes of that, you know, to just take a few seconds to enjoy your coffee outside or something. And I know that it's really, really hard when we're receiving messages about our unworthiness to then repeat messages to ourselves about our worth, but it's so powerful. You're right. Even if you don't believe it initially, it just is so powerful to do. And I think it's really, really important.
Yeah, me too.
I agree. And I think that part of it is practice for sure. And part of it is just the discipline of remembering to be mindful over your coffee, or remembering just like, hey, it's an option. I can actually go outside with my coffee, you know, just these tiny, tiny little things that we can do for ourselves. And it is a practice of just doing them over and over. And I think too, probably is, you know, those are things we can do, but we also can be careful about the influences we allow in our lives and just how time is so precious. And so if you can avoid certain behaviors or messages, I think that's really worthy also, right?
Yeah. Nodding my head. Yeah.
And I think as moms, we often find it hard because, Leslie, remember we were talking in earlier that to take the time out to do it because we're just focused on everybody else. But Chrissy, you already said that it creates the ripples in the family. Mm-hmm. So if you do, you know, we love our kids, we love our husbands, we love our extended families as well and our friends. And so kind of nourishing your own soul and taking time for these mental or spiritual breaks really affects in a profound, beautiful way all of those relationships too. And so even if you just look at it in that kind of way, to as another act of service for your family or your friends, I mean, it's a necessary step for that too.
Yeah, absolutely. I know when I walk out of the Y after teaching, which isn't even my own practice, you know, that's guiding others, it still has enough of an effect on me that I just walk out happier. Like, I've done that not only for them, the members that came, but for myself. And then I'm a better person. The next person I see after I leave a yoga class, like, it's all sunshine and rainbows. And that carries on, you know, from me to them and then the next person. And so I agree wholeheartedly that when we take the time away from our busy schedules to give back to ourselves, it indeed affects those relationships around us in a very positive way.
Yeah, absolutely. I just keep thinking back to when my kids were a little bit younger, well, quite a bit younger, just sort of during that toddler stage, and how I'm sure a lot of people can relate to this, but just how like you would be serving lunch to your kids and you would make them the lunch that they needed to eat. And then I would often find myself just eating what they didn't eat. And I remember even at the time being like, I'm like eating scraps. Like that's what I'm feeding myself right now. And kind of knowing at some level that there was a lot of value in at least eating the scraps with a fork or, you know, like in a nice bowl.
I think just or, you have literally never had that life experience before. I always feed myself the
Well,
prize pig
no, I
with
would
my
feed
kids.
the kids and not necessarily worry about, and that's a tiny example of just a
Yeah,
really small thing in
absolutely.
your day that if you, yes, you can absolutely serve others and yes, you can absolutely take care of your kids, but my goodness, like make yourself a peanut butter sandwich, like you'll feel better.
And eat it with the fork, damn it. If you need to, you eat that with the fork.
Get out your china, like
Yeah.
you're worth it. And no, that's a, I think it's kind of a silly example, but one that I just think a lot of us do in a lot of different ways is that we're so busy taking care of everyone else that we sacrifice small pleasures left and right. That, as you're saying, Chrissy, can go on not just to nourish ourselves, but also to allow us to shine that goodness out in the world, with whoever we come into contact next.
Absolutely. Chrissy, thank you so much for sharing your afternoon with us. I know that even though we've been close friends for years, that I just continue to learn from you. So I learned today that it doesn't have to necessarily be a 20-minute meditation in the morning, but it can just be finding a little quiet time or just being fully aware myself in the moment of pouring myself a cup of coffee or whatever it might be to give myself a little affirmation to just be love and try to take that out to the world too. What'd you learn, Leslie?
Yeah, I just love when Chrissy just talked about being love, like just the act of being something so beautiful, and how when you can recognize that about yourself, how that completely can shift the way you view you and your family and others in the whole huge world. So I'm thankful for that, Chrissy, and I love your heart, and I'm so grateful that you shared so much of it with us today.
Well, thanks. And I love your heart. And a lot of the things that I've learned recently in Ways to Be comes and stems from my relationship and love of you ladies. So thank you as well in being good examples of how to be a mama and how to have a good time.
That's right. Balance.
Balance.
Well, I love you ladies very much. Leslie, you want to take us out with the Mama Bear Dares?
Sure. This week, Mama Bear dares you to take time for yourself and figure out what it is that nourishes you and what your soul needs, in order to get through the day as a bright light for yourself and for others. So take time for you, take time for, this just a little mental or spiritual break. Get to know yourself, give yourself really that gift and see how it shapes your day.